The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. And as usual, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. Today's date is February 19th, 2024. All right, now, so I need to kind of give you guys a heads up. So I'm not going to the conference out in Tennessee. Let's just say there's a family emergency, and so I had to cancel the trip. And nothing too big, but, you know, just how family stuff is sometimes. So I'll be on the air today, but not for the rest of the week. And that's it, just giving you a heads up. So if any of you are trying to get out to the Tennessee thing to meet me, I'm not going to be there. I've already canceled the flight, canceled everything, so I just can't make it. And that's the way it goes. So if you want to give me a call today, it's easy. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Real easy to do. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, and we can talk. I think we got somebody coming in. So I was in Salt Lake City, Friday evening and then Saturday morning, and a lot of people showed up. It was great. Had a great time Friday and Saturday. And then they had to cut the trip short and come back here because of the family thing. And so it was great. You know, it was great. And I had a good time. And if Bill and Eric are listening, hey, you guys did such a good job in that place. I got to tell you guys, I took some pictures. And I may just do a bit, an article on their place, the Utah Christian Resource Center. It's really good. In fact, you know, I've known Bill for over 30 years, and so I'm always teasing him. And I said, man, this is a lot better than I thought it was going to be. So he goes, thanks. So, you know. So it really was really nice. You know, I was teasing him. But it really is good. You guys can go there and go check it out. They're very friendly there. And there's a front room and then a hallway and then a back room. The back room is where I spoke. And they're going to have a lot of people there. They're going to have Sandra Tanner there pretty soon. Sandra Tanner. She's in her 80s. She's officially kind of-ish retired. And she's great. I've met her numerous times. And she's awesome. So if you want to go check her out, go to mrm.org and type in Resource Center, you know, and you'll find all the information and stuff like that. mrm.org. So I hope they're listening. And whenever I think about them, I think of Terry, if Terry's listening, because Terry's always full of smiles. So, you know, it had a great time. And sorry, Mr. Chili, Terry. Sorry about that. Okay. Well, all right. So I think that's pretty good. And like I said, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right. Let's get on the air with Kevin from North Carolina. Kevin, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, busy, hectic, worn out, tired, and, you know, a little obstreperous.
All of the above. I'm in the same boat, so we got a lot of common today.
Go ahead.
is that I keep hearing lately in, like, social media and stuff like that, they're talking about Jesus' true name as Yahshua, if I'm saying that right. Yeah. And his name was translated to that through the Greek and the Latin into English. And if that's the case, are we worshiping the wrong person? I'm not sure, you know? I mean,
No.
How did Jesus Christ come about if that's his true name is Yeshua, and how come we're not using that?
Okay. So what you do with these people who cause problems, who don't know what they're talking about, who are ignorant Okay. What you do is you say, what's the oldest manuscripts we have of the New Testament in any language? What's the oldest we have? You ask them that.
Wouldn't it be the
what?
I'm sorry. Wouldn't those be the oldest?
No, those are the Old Testament.
I'm not
sure. The scrolls. The New Testament is codices.
Okay, the New Testament.
The New Testament is codices, which are pages. So, ask them, what's the oldest written that we have from the date that goes back? What is it? And the answer is, it's in Greek. Why is it that God chose to have the New Testament written in Greek? Because it was the lingua franca. Because 300 years earlier, Alexander the Great had come through the Mediterranean area, conquered it, and made Greek a national kind of a language. It was the common trade language, the common language. So Greek is a very powerful language, very precise. And so if you're going to write the Gospels, and you're going to write the epistles, and you want to evangelize the world, what language are you going to write it in? Aramaic? Which like 8 people would understand, if you get my drift? Or are you going to do it with millions and millions understand? Which one? You're going to go Greek. And that's what we have. We have the Greek manuscripts. And the Greek manuscripts have the word Jesus. And it's used over 900 times in the New Testament. 900 times. 914 to be exact. So the name Jesus is literally in the Greek I-A-S-O-U, or you can say S, okay? So what it is, when you look at this, it's I-A-S-O-U-S. That's the literal transliteration. Iota, Eta, Sigma, Omicron, Upsilon, Sigma. Those are the Greek letters. And how you, literally, the best pronunciation we have that I'm aware of is Jesus. Jesus. That's how you pronounce it. And Christos is the word for Christ. And like, for example, the word Savior is Soteros. See, what we're doing is we're translating. My name in Spanish is Mateo. Okay, in English it's Matt or Matthew.
Right.
So in Greek it's Matthias. All right. So we had to pronounce the right name? Because what if my name, you know, is Matthew, but in Spanish, someone's talking to me and say, ¿Cómo estás, Mateo? How are you, Matt? I say, well, that's not my name. My name's Matthew. You have to say it right, or otherwise it's not really me. It's dumb. You see that? It's dumb. So what's happening is this. Now, we'll go to Matthew 1:21. She shall bear a son. This is what the angel is saying. The birth of Jesus Christ is as follows, right? That's verse 18. Joseph, her husband, etc. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, was his name Yeshua in Hebrew? Probably. But his name in Greek is Jesus. My name in Spanish is Mateo. In Greek is Matthias. In English is Matthew. They're all the same thing. You don't have to pronounce it the right way. Otherwise, you're serving the wrong God. It's the stupidity of that argument and the stupidity of this stuff that they do, and they cause problems. Now, what I can do is I can say, look, what's the name of God? Now, we go to, for example, Genesis, and you know, we look up the word Lord, okay? And we find out that it's the Greek word, I mean the Greek, the Hebrew, Yahweh. Well,
Yahweh.
It's, yes, it is, but let me show you something. So this occurs, this is, which one is that? That's 3068. That occurs 6,517 times in the Hebrew Bible. So what's the correct pronunciation of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh? Because the word Yahweh, which is what we just say in English, is actually a way to pronounce the four consonants, because the vowel points were not there in the original. So you could have like the word table or table or tibble or tobel, because the different vowel changes everything. So if you don't know exactly what the original vowels were, then how do you know how to pronounce it? So what we have here is Yod, Hev, Vav, He. Yod, Hev, Vav, Hev. How do you pronounce that? Well, if they say that you have to have the word Jesus pronounced properly, it has to be Yeshua, or you're not serving Jesus. Give me a... It's so stupid. Well, then, what's the correct pronunciation of the tetra... It's called the Tetragrammaton, the four letters. What's the correct pronunciation? No one knows. I guess they could be making a mistake, and by their own judgment, it'll come up. They didn't pronounce his name right, so therefore they're in trouble. So this whole thing is legalistic nonsense. It's stupidity. All right?
Yeah, well, I'm so thankful that you cleared that up for me, because I was reading some of this stuff last night, and I'm like, you know what? I need to give Matt a call. And that was my first thing at 6 o'clock on my drive home. I'm like, I got to get that number, and this question needs to be answered.
Good. So, okay, let me give you another analogy.
Thank you so much for your time.
Let me give you another analogy, okay? So I'm Matt Slick. I'm on the radio. I'm 67 years old. I was born in Wyoming. I've moved 40 times. I now live in Idaho. All right? I run karm.org. All right. So, what if someone says Matt Slick is not my real name but thinks it's a radio name? Let's just say hypothetically that someone called up and called me a different name, because they just did. And, you know, they called me Johanna, or they call me Michael. Or whatever. And this happened. People have missed my name wrong before. Let's say someone calls up and a listener just tunes in and hears someone call me that. And because of the conversation, I don't correct it, because sometimes it happens. Okay, and then someone tells you that's his real name. And you say, well, what's the guy in the radio? Yeah, he's 67. Yeah, has that MDiv from Westminster? Yes. All these things. Yeah. Well, that's him, right? You got the name pronunciation wrong, but it doesn't mean it's not me. You think it is, and that's what it is. Oh, I'm sorry. Because you didn't get my name right, it's Matt, not Michael. Therefore, you never did know who I was. You never understood anything about me. It's dumb.
Right.
It is really dumb.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And I just worry because, you know, Revelation says there's going to be false prophets in the end time. And I feel, just my perspective, I feel like we're growing closer and closer to the end times. And it's just, there's so much information out there and we're bombarded by it. It'd be really easy to be deceived into doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You know, we just have to pray to God and ask Him to guide us is the main thing. But...
Yeah,
I was so glad I was able to get you on the phone and get this straightened out.
Okay, good. Good. And that's what it is. So I hope it's really settled and you don't have to worry about it, okay? Nobody knows how the name is exactly pronounced. And if they say you have to pronounce it exactly, well, then they're in trouble. No one knows what it exactly is.
Right.
All right? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So there you go.
Hey, I appreciate your radio show, and I appreciate you. Take care and God bless.
You too, man. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, we have nobody waiting right now. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you're a first-time listener, Matt Slick is my real name. Believe it or not, it's a cool radio name, too. Matt Slick Live. And if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And let's see what else. been doing apologetics for about, since 1980, answering the Christian questions and challenges against the Christian faith. So there you go if you want to give me a call. You can also email me, anybody, if you want. You can email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. Just put the subject line, radio question or radio comment, and get to it. All right, Brian from Ohio. Hey, Brian, you're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, ma'am. What do you got, buddy?
All right. This is an unusual question, and I don't want to take up a lot of your time from the serious questions, but my wife and I listen to you on the way home every night from work, and you were talking about a week or two ago about how you make your coffee with the chai tea in it and the chocolate, and we've been wanting to try that ever since and wondered if you could give us a little insight as to what the recipe is for that.
Oh, it's good. I'm drinking it. I got it right at my desk right now in a coffee mug someone sent me that I can operate with my phone, has battery in it, so it keeps it hot for a long time. Hold on. I'm going to take a drink.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, that's good. All right. So my wife and I have a Nespresso machine, and about once a day, once every third day, I'll use it. And often what I'll do is I'll take Nescafe coffee crystals, because, you know, that other stuff's expensive. So I'll do that. Anyway, that's what I did today. And so I put the Hershey's chocolate creamer in it, and then I take a scoop of chai. C-H-A-I. It's got crystals, chai stuff like that, and put it in there.
Oh, okay. Okay. And it's not chai tea. It's the chai crystals. Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah, powdered crystals. Right, my wife got it at a coffee place, and we got to go back and get some more. So that's what we do. In fact, when my wife's girlfriends come over, I'll often make them really nice coffees. And what I'll do is I'll take glasses, not coffee cups, you can see through, and I'll put the different layers of coffee and stuff in it. You can see with the creamer, let it sit, and the whole bit. Then I top it with with whipped cream. And then I give them a little spoon so they can stir it up and see it blend. You know, and they get a kick out of it, and it's fun. I like doing it. So, yeah, that's
all
what
right.
I do for coffee.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that very much, and appreciate you and your sound theology keeping us straight and letting us know what the scriptures really say. So keep up the good work.
Well, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. By God's grace. All right.
Okay. Well, take care. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, that's Brian from Ohio. I don't know if I've ever even been to Ohio. Seriously, don't even know. I can't remember. Maybe I have. I've done so many things. Who knows? All right. Champ, we don't have anybody waiting, so I'm looking at the text chat. Let's see if they type anything in there. One person says, we're living in times of deception. That is very true. That's very true. Love whipped cream, someone says. That's right. Man, I make a good cup of coffee. I do. I've had people come over and go, well, I don't really like coffee. Go, you want to try it? And, the ones let me talk them into it. And they go, man, that's good. I say, yep. So, all right, there you go. Hey, let me see if I can get to some emails. Okay, wow, I can't even read that. All right, let's get into this. The podcasts have not been updated with the show since January 22nd. That's right. I've been so busy just trying to catch up because we lost someone who quit on us and left us high and drier. Just that was it. I don't even know where to go to figure out what to do. And I haven't even tried to look. So there's just different ways. And then once that's going and once I get everything else done, then I'll have to figure out how to upload the podcast and do that. And I've just got so much on my plate that it's just another thing I have to do. And with my wife's health not being as good as it needs to be, it just adds even more on my plate. So one solution is to pilot higher. The other one is get a bigger plate. And what I've been doing is getting a bigger plate, so it just takes me longer to get stuff. All right, there you go. Let's see, we don't get that. Good day. I'm interested to know which translation of the Bible you all use. Well, I don't know about you all here at CARM, but the one I use is the NASB 95. I like the NASB 95. It says, I've been enjoying the YouTube series on Romans, and I thought I'd get a copy of it. Yes, I taught an entire series on the book of Romans. And the outlines are there, downloadable, the videos. I think the videos are there, too. Yeah, everything is there, so you can just listen. The lighting and the setting is bad, but that, you know, that's what it is, because I did it in my house and with a bunch of people in the living room kind of a thing. So it's just, that's just what was. So there you go with that. And, all right, I like the visual images tied to the CARM articles posted on Getter, which I don't know what that is. Yeah, I mean, I know what Getter is, but what's these images? Maybe consider attaching them to the corresponding article on the CARM site. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. So we've had different people doing stuff, and they, what I like to do when they work with CARM is I say, here's your domain. Just do what you want with it within these parameters. That's all. For, I don't need explanations. If you have problems, come talk to me. See, I believe in giving people responsibility, and since they're grown-ups, handle it the way you see fit. Here's the guidelines, and don't go outside the guidelines unless there's a reason you need to. You let me know. And that's it. And we work. So what they'll do is develop their own like images. I tell them how to make images, where to make images, what to do with the images, how to put them in. I tell them all this stuff. Then they just are kind of set free to do their own thing. So that is a good idea that those who would do that, and we need to put the images in the articles. So if someone could find out where the articles, where the things are on Getter, that's another thing. Is maybe linking these kinds of things into a social media grid on CARM so they can go there and look too. We've got so many things we want to have done, and it's just a lot of work. So basically, I work more than all of our volunteers combined. And plus, in the evenings, I like to do debates, impromptu debates going into different chat rooms. So that's what I like to do. So anyway, there you go. Okay. All right, let's see. We got that. We don't have anybody waiting. All right, so let me try. And he says, I post CARM articles on various social media or send them to people. I think those images related to the articles are great, provoke people to reading articles even more. They create... That's a good idea. It really is. All right. Let's see what this says. That says nothing. And, okay. Logical inferences or proofs are not invalid or invalid. Not true or false. Okay. Not considered. So, someone said they made a mistake. Gotcha. Okay. Hey, there's some music. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to... Oh, interesting. Welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Blake from Discord. Blake, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How's it going? Hello from Moscow, Idaho. Just wanted to give you a call. I finally made it home from potlatch. But was curious, since we're both of a similar reformed cloth, wanted to know if you were interested in being a key holder in a discipleship server. I remember in listening to some of your discourse with some of the young guys, you've got a very big passion, for discipling young believers to be competent, and not only competent, but confident in the scriptures and in their faith so they can represent it well and influence, be advancing Christ's kingdom.
Sounds interesting, because one of the things I do want to do is start discipling, helping, training, whatever you want to call it, young people in the faith. Not that I've got all the answers, but, you know. Yeah.
Well, sure. God truly has given you quite a few answers. I think one of the most interesting things you told me is that one of your professors was John Frame, and I'm looking at one of his books right now on my shelf. Mm-hmm. It surely would have been a blessing to have met him. But you know, if you had time to discuss that, I see that there's a lot of folks online in these different servers and whatnot, and a lot of the Protestants are very much ill-equipped. Very few that have a solid understanding of the scriptures. And it's so refreshing to have somebody like you who's older and has been doing this and been at it for a very long time to be present. But I think if perhaps there was a place where you and maybe some others were discipling, and then those younger guys could get just pushed out, and that would almost, I can't think of a better word than wreak havoc in a good way.
Man, I like that. You're hitting a chord. Absolutely. We should talk. Now, are you on Discord? You're Blake. Blake, what?
I am. Yes. Okay. Yeah,
I remember.
The name that it's let me see. Here, I'll just shoot you a Discord message.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my full, right, my full name.
Okay.
Yep. And I put my cell number. That's okay. I put my cell number in that first message that I sent to you, and an invite to the Discord server that I've created. There would be a lot of information in this Discord for believers to learn how to fight their sin well. It is, you know, there's too many believers on there that I've run into where they say this online server is a church. It is not a church. There's no elders there. There's no sacraments being given. The word is not preached. I don't have people looking into my life. It's not a church. There's too much not happening. But I would love for it to be a place where believers can come and they can see, oh my goodness, Protestant Christianity is actually very rich in its culture and history and its theology. It has answers, and if you're actually curious, here they are. We'll list them out for you. There's quite a few guys that I know who have gone to Eastern Orthodoxy or Roman Catholicism because most of the churches that surround them are very, I hate to say it, but they're effeminate. They're very challenged, and they're starving their congregants. But more on that is, you know, if believers are having a hard time finding a church around them, like, well, this one is, you know, this one has this doctrine and beliefs, this one's Lutheran, this one's Presbyterian, this one's Baptist, this one, whatever it is, you know, there would also be a thing in there saying, hey, here's some ideas to help you find a good church near you. And, you know, if it's more of a wisdom call and there's less options available, what's the best one for you given your circumstances? Or is there a denomination that you could call or contact and say, hey, could you guys start something up here for me? So trying to help believers get plugged in that are really interested, helping them to mature and grow, and then pushing them out to just wreak havoc. Just like in these different servers where some of these other, you know, the far right or far left ditches on the Christian road are kind of more dominant. These believers can be a lot more equipped. And I think it would be a blessing if, you know, we had more guys, older, wiser gentlemen that were pouring into them, and in a context where they can't be just talking over you, you know, or each other. It's more of a, almost like a classroom setting, but more of a one-on-one. I was thinking about this as you and I were talking on that other server, and I was like, man, I'd love to, I was talking to my father-in-law, I was like, man, I might go and have a cigar and a glass of bourbon with this guy, Matt Slick. He says, I know Matt Slick. Yeah, I pull some stuff for the guys that I, you know, he does college ministry at our church. He's one of the elders. But he was very happy to hear your name. Apparently you've been a blessing for him and the things that he's been doing. So
Well, tell you what, while you're talking, I joined the server. Okay? So I'm in.
Okay, great. I will make you a key holder in it, and what I'll do is I would love for you to just review everything. I'm still working on it, but I would really like to kind of dial it in. I'm largely going off memory and the notes that I have from books I've read or what have you. Just trying to put as much information on there that I can so that believers have a resource of sorts.
Would it be too much to ask to put a channel in there with my name, Matt Slick? So if we do teach, they go in, they'll know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
Absolutely. I think that would be great. You know, I'm trying to find a few other gentlemen to help me. I think it's a terrible idea for one person to have the key for the server, but I'd like for you to be one of them. And then a few more gentlemen to help with that as well. You know, there's too many Rehoboams going around in Discord servers where they make all their peers their we don't respect folks that are older anymore. Let me see here.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
No problem. Yeah, so let me know. And
okay,
yeah, just text me in there or do a message. Give me your phone number. We'll end up talking on the phone, okay? Sound good?
Yeah, awesome. We'll thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciate your time.
Hey,
have a good one.
The reason one more thing. The reason I'm so agreeable to what you're saying is because it's on my heart lately more and more to start teaching the young people and ground them in the faith.
Mm.
That's what I really want to do.
So
I've learned so much over the years. I really want to help people. So it's like, yep. Okay.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. And there is a big need for father figures. So a spiritual father in some sense is a huge blessing to the, you know, men my age at 31 years old. It's a big need. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much, Matt.
Okay.
Have a great rest of your day. Goodbye.
Okay. Talk to you later. Thanks. All right. So for those of you who don't know what that is, Discord is one of the main places I go to just interact with believers, unbelievers. And it's a thing that was designed originally by some gamers just so they could communicate with each other, and it grew. And a lot of people started using it. Now it's very popular. It's a server is just like a channel, you know, like a TV channel. It's a server. It doesn't have video. Well, it can have video, but anyway, you go and you talk. And so what we do, what I've been doing, going into these rooms, we call them rooms inside of servers, and they'll be filled up, 100 people at a time, sometimes more, 200, I think they get up to, and I'll just show up, and they just start saying, Matt, would you answer questions? And so I do. I feel bad kind of sometimes because I go into a room just to listen, and then they all want to start asking me questions. The people are having conversations already, and they get sidelined. And so I tell them, I said, look, you guys are talking. That's okay. You know, I can wait. No big deal. And they go, no, we're good. We're done. They have questions. So very often it happens like that. And I start talking about stuff, and I start just getting into all kinds of topics. Well, I have hundreds of pages of material on notes I've been collecting over the years. And I use a lot of it when I teach and answer questions, try and teach people. And so, you know, I'm 67. Who knows how longer I'll be around, but I want to be able to inculcate, to teach by repetition, to teach the younger people what the faith is and how to defend it. Not that I've got all the answers, but it's one of the things I want to do and maybe share. So that's what it is. Discord.com. You can check it out. Hey, there's the music. If you want, give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right, I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And we have nobody waiting, so I'm going to get on to, get some of the older questions people have asked. Let's see. Hello, Mr. Slick. Love your name. My question is, the verse mentioned Abraham's only son Isaac. They're not acknowledging the son from the handmaiden Ishmael. Just curious. Yes. Hold on one sec. Okay, there we go. So yes, the reason is because he was not Ishmael was not the son of promise. And notice that God says of Isaac, of to Jacob about Isaac, take your only begotten son. And so what he's talking about is that within the confines of his proper marriage that God had promised. That is the work of God, that he is the only begotten. And because it's the work of God upon Sarah, by which she then was able to conceive, even at her old age, this is the work of God. So, yeah, they had relations and produced Isaac, but God opened her womb, just as God opened the womb of Mary. And then the only begotten was shown there. And so, in Isaac, we see a type of Christ, because Abraham and Isaac went to the hill to sacrifice the son. Jesus was upon the hill to be sacrificed, and it was a sacrifice offered by the Father. So that's what I understand it. I got to find a verse for that, but I'm pretty sure that's because it was there. Anyway, and both Isaac and Jesus carried wood up the hill. There was a helper, a servant that was with them. And Eleazar was there. And so the Holy Spirit is the helper. And they caught a ram in a thicket of thorns. Jesus wore a thicket of thorns, etc. And also, some theologians think it was the same hill that he was crucified on, except just a couple thousand years later type thing. So it was a definite plan that God had with Isaac, not with Ishmael, and that is why that is stated like that. All right, let's try this one. Hi, man. Learning a lot through your live show ministry. Trusted your website over the years, but didn't discover your live broadcast till recently. I have two questions. In Reformed thinking, is it possible for one to become a genuine born-again regenerated Christian if that one is somehow not predestined for salvation? No. Predestination is a necessary aspect of God's elective work. Predestination means that God works what he desires by the counsel of his will. He works all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:11. And it says, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Romans 8:29. The foreknown ones are the predestined ones. And so it says in Ephesians 1:4 that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we'd be holy and blameless. In love, he predestined us to adoption. So they go hand in hand. Okay. What if one begs with all of their being, is it possible that it would not be God's will? Okay, first of all, anyone who would beg to be saved with all of their being can't do so unless God's working on them. Because the unbeliever is a slave of sin, a hater of God, doesn't receive spiritual things. And John 6:44, Jesus says, you can't come to me unless the Father draws you. So the Father could be drawing them, convicting them, working on them, and then they're begging for salvation. Well, that's because of God's work. He's not going to reject them, okay? Or by the fact that one earnestly begs for salvation despite the ungodliness of one's character and behavior. That's everybody. That this plea is in fact evidence of God's choosing or predestining calling. Yeah, there you go. That's what I was just saying. Number two, what is your analysis or commentary about a born-again, regenerated Christian who lives a lifelong cycle of earnestly following the Lord and then falling into serious immorality, sin over a lengthy period, and then seriously repenting and trying to change with zealous seeking of God, serving God, and then again falling into a protracted period of immorality, and then again entering in a serious or season of desperate repentance of seeking God's salvation from actual sin, etc.? What would your counsel to such a person be? Be careful, otherwise God's going to kill you. That's my counsel. You see, if you're really a Christian, you really are, then you've got to remember that, I'm going to go to a verse. Here we go. First Corinthians 5. And he says, there was a man having relations with his father's wife. And let's see, He says, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Interesting verse. So the judgment upon a person is to be killed, so that they'll be saved. So let's say there's a real Christian, really is born again, and he is dabbling in things he shouldn't do, and he gets into it more and more and more. Well, God has his way of being very patient, very, very patient. But look at this. Judgment can occur to such a person that he will judge them and take them out. This is a serious thing, because if you want to serve God and are working against him or causing problems and you're indulging in various sins, well, then maybe God will judge you. So it's just a warning I've had to people that if you're going to do that, you be very careful. I knew of a guy, my old boss, who's a Christian, told me a story about a friend of his. And this man was a Christian, and he started dabbling in sinful stuff. And he got in some sort of an accident, and his back was broken. So he's on his back in a hospital bed or at home in a bed, you know, for months. I think it took 6 months before he could really start walking again, something like that. I don't know how long it all takes, but it was a long time. So during that time, he repented. He repented. He says, Lord, you know, you got my attention. And he started studying the Bible. And he was healed and, you know, healed up. And 2 years later, he started sliding again. And he started getting into the same old stuff that he shouldn't have. Another accident occurred, broke his back again. That time he repented and stayed repented. He didn't want to go through it again. So God's discipline was upon him. And this kind of stuff happens. I had a time in my life where I was disciplined. And God has his way of communicating to us various things and in various ways to discipline us. And if we continue to rebel, he'll deal with you. The dealing with you can be through a sickness, accidents, or he'll kill you. Now, that's a serious thing. No, Jesus would never do that. He's blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown, dressed, and he'll never hurt you. And so this is just something that is important, that we need to be aware of, and stuff like that. So, all right, there you go with that. Let's get to another. Oh, wait, we have a call. All right, let's get to Elijah from Philly. Elijah, welcome. You are on the air. What do you got?
Hi, Matt. I got two questions for you. So The first question is this. I was listening to the radio show called The Line a few days ago, and I heard Matt DeLonghi bring up this argument against Jesus, where he says that Jesus committed a sin. And hold on, let me see if I can bring this up. All right, so it's in Matthew 21, verse 3, where it says, "If anyone says unto you, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." And this is the paragraph where he tells them to go take a donkey. So Matt DeLonghi's argument is that the reason why Jesus told them, if anyone says to you, what are you doing, to say this, the reason for this is because Jesus was telling them to steal the donkey, and which would be a sin. Stealing is a sin, and so therefore Jesus was not sinless. You know, he was flawed like everybody else. What is your response to this?
So let me get this straight. So in Matthew 21:3, it says that Jesus was stealing, telling them to steal, because he said, if anyone says to you anything, you shall say the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. That means he was stealing, right?
Because the people are like, what are you doing? Why are you taking the donkey? Which means that they had no business taking it in the first place. Yeah.
But notice what Jesus says, and immediately he will send them. So he's saying the guy that whose donkey it is will send him. He's saying the Lord has need. He's letting him know, and the man's going to say, go take him. How's that stealing? Matt Dillahunty, if he says this, this is just stupid. Seriously, but it is. It's ridiculous.
Okay. I'm sorry. Could you repeat what you just said? Because my phone had I just made a noise when you had said that.
Sure. It's a very bad argument. Because in the text, he instructs them to say, the Lord has need of them. So that means he's telling the owner, the Lord has need of them. And then he says, and immediately he will send them. So that means he's telling them, this is what the need is, and the guy's going to send them. Go ahead. It's right there in the text.
When you say immediately send them, can you clarify who he's talking about there? Because I'm sorry. My brain is just acting a little bit slow today.
That's all right. Are you a Christian?
Yeah. We talked quite a
I just need to know. Are you a Christian? I just need to know. Are you Christian? That's it. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So, because sometimes people call up who are atheists trying to pretend that they are Christians, and then they ask questions like this for trapping. They're just testing. That's all right. And if you're an atheist, I'll talk to you. But notice what it says. Jesus says, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Has need of them, okay? They have a colt, right? A donkey tied there, and a colt with her. So they're both going to go, the donkey and the colt, untie them. The Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, if he says, if he says, there's a couple of things to look at here, but if he says, well, he was telling them to do it, and if anybody asks, then you say it. Well, then that would mean that he was telling them to steal. Well, there is a technical problem that he would have, Matt Dillahunty, since God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. All that is on the earth belongs to God. It belongs to him. So if he were to take what belongs to him, it cannot be stealing. Just as when God executes anybody, it can never be murder, because all have sinned against him, and so he could just carry out the judgment upon them. There's another explanation, okay?
Right. Okay. Yeah, and I see we only got like 2 minutes left, so let me get into my second question. My second question is out of Exodus 22, verses 2 and 3. It's about self-defense during home invasion, and I think in verse 3 it said, if you strike the person that is invading your home, and they die after the sun has risen, then you shall be guilty or something like that. So my question is, what does the sun being up has anything to do with you being guilty? I don't understand that.
So we're almost out of time. It has to do with being able to see who's in the house and see what's going on, that you strike a person, because you don't know who it is. And it has to do with being able to see. So we're out of time. So call back tomorrow. Let's talk about it some more, okay? Because there's some more there. All right, buddy. All right. May the Lord bless you. All right. Hey, folks, we are out of time. May the Lord bless you. And by his grace, we'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope to hear from you. Oh, no, wait a minute. We won't be back on the air tomorrow. I'm off for the rest of the week. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.